Checkmate 1-6, immediate suppression on target.
That's why I see him in the shot.
Shot or no shot with Cap'n J-Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app.
That's why I see him in the shot.
Good morning and welcome in to the Cap'n J-Hood Morning Show on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the ESPN Chicago app with David Kaplan. Jonathan Hood with you. Now time for Shot or No Shot on this draft day, brought to you by...
That would be ESPN Bet. They've got draft props, baseball, bet, hockey, basketball, bet, golf.
Bet.
Get $100 in free bets when you sign up, download the ESPN app, and open your account. We say good morning to Shay W. Norley.
Good morning on NFL Draft Day. I can tell we're feeling good, boys.
No question about it. It's a big day.
Game on, man.
But it's just not just any draft. I mean, we've gone through drafts before. But when the Bears are the centerpiece of the draft and the bell of the ball, when everyone's talking about it, what are the Bears doing? See, in other years, Shay, this would just be, oh, the Bears got the fifth pick. The Bears have the eighth pick. All right. But they would not be a talking point on all the talk shows. When you have done what the Bears have done with two number one picks, everyone's talking about you because you control the draft. And so that's what makes it feel different than all the other years for me.
It's incredible. Absolutely incredible.
And now, how are the Patriots doing at three? You good? You going to get what you want tonight?
We'll get there in about 16 minutes when we go around the NFL.
All right.
New England Patriots have traded the third pick.
Oh, okay. Don't do that.
It's not nice. That is not nice at all. Actually, it's incredibly unkind.
Here's Shay Dorley. Shay?
I'm in a good mood, Kaplan. Don't try to ruin it. The NFL insider Jordan Schultz reported that based on what he's hearing from the Bears, they are not focused on wide receiver at all with the ninth pick, and that the likeliest options based on his sourcing are pass rushers, offensive tackle, or trading down. Shot or no shot, all the wide receiver smoke from the Bears was just that, smoke.
No shot. It's absolutely in play. Now, again, you can only take one player. So if they take a lineman or a defender, he'll go, I told you. But absolutely no shot because they are absolutely considering wide receiver.
Of course. This is not that deep, actually. I understand that people are, because it's a top 10 pick, everyone's looking at it and trying to figure out what the Bears are going to do. It's not that deep, Cap. It's not. It would be that deep if the Bears didn't do their due diligence here in the offseason in free agency.
Correct.
Because now there's an array of places you can go. Oh, my God. They only got a couple guys. Well, I mean, they had seven wins before. They got to figure out running back, and they got to figure out free safety. And they've already taken care of a lot of that with veterans and choices that they've made.
Correct.
It's not that deep. It's the Bears should be able to strike on something that they can utilize and mold and shape into something that is special for this football team at the number nine pick.
Agreed.
You don't have to reach for it. It's right there for you. You have several choices you can make, unless you feel like you have some reclamation project you can clean up. But you don't need to do that. It's a top 10 pick after all. Just take what you need and then move forward.
Let's go.
It's not that deep.
It's not.
Like wide receiver, offensive line, defensive line. Okay, so you have a few choices.
Don't overthink this.
You see the holes in the depth chart. That's things that need to upgrade.
I've told you. I'm cool if they get an offensive tackle. I'm cool if they go receiver. I mean, I know they want another rush edge. Go trade for Trey Hendrickson. I want to draft somebody in that O-line or wide receiver room.
But Penix was the best on the board. Here's Shay Norley.
Oh. when best available gets turned the other way.
Hey, you know.
The epic myth of best player available.
Oh, just, it's amazing. It's amazing. Go ahead.
All right, Brad Spielberger, formerly of PFF, tweeted this morning, quote, "The league has never done this good of a job keeping things under wraps. We are getting chaos tonight. Shot or no shot, the Bears are going to shock us with the ninth pick."
That's a no shot. That's a no shot. Will not be a shock.
The only thing that would be shocking is if they said the Bears have traded up to like three or four. That would be shocking.
Poles is cool. He's good. But that night, it's not like he's not taking calls. Of course he is. But he's good. The way you shock someone is like, yeah, they got Marvin Harrison for a future haul.
Right.
I don't think that's in him. I think he's tired now. I think he's had enough.
Kaplan walked back here in the last break and goes, what if at number 9 the Chicago Bears select the cornerback out of Alabama?
Tarrion Arnold.
I was like, I would flip bleep. I think my coffee table would be in danger. Like, my TV would be in danger.
You did what? Wow.
The only way I'm shocked is if I'm angry. If they do something reasonable, I'm going to be pretty happy. If they take Brock Bowers, I'd be shocked. I would be shocked, yeah.
I know he's one of their most highly rated guys.
One of my highly rated guys.
Yeah.
And God bless him wherever he goes.
Chicago Bears select Brock Bowers. He's a unicorn, Shay. Get on board.
I think he's a person, actually.
He's a unicorn.
He's not a unicorn. Why do people keep calling him a unicorn? He's a big wide receiver. Unicorn is Rob Gronkowski, who's an enormous human being who's as good or better as a run blocker as he is a route runner and pass catcher.
Well, guess what?
Brock Bowers doesn't have one of the skill sets.
People that know more football than you, me, Hoodie, and Jay Moore combined times 100 call him a unicorn. So I'll ride with them. Thank you. Next, Shay.
Benjamin Albright and Jeff Hughes of the Bears blog both had an identical trade partner for the Bears in tonight's draft in their latest mocks. Benjamin Albright, typically pretty accurate as well. The New Orleans Saints, desperately in need of a tackle on their offensive line, move up to number 9 and give the Bears the 14th pick as well as some other stuff. For what it's worth, I did have them trading with New Orleans in my trade down mock yesterday. The Saints love to do this historically. They are a trade up organization and they are in desperate need of a tackle. So shot or no shot, the Bears could already have a trade partner at 9 in New Orleans.
Yeah, I'm going to say no shot. I don't think Poles is going that far down. I think he's getting an elite player up there at 9. I don't think he's going that far down.
I would like for them to get more picks, but if not, get what you need at 9 and move forward. The least amount of draft picks. Boy, if they didn't do what they did here in the offseason, I'd be all over them for those 4 picks. Be like, man, you got to do more. You got to get more capital. But they are, this is when you, again, this is a shining red light, Cap, to say the Bears are going for it based on the choices that they made here in the offseason. Is that not an underrated story? Or are people looking at this the way I'm looking at it? Am I alone?
No.
All the moves that they've made?
They are pushing the chips in going, all right, we got to develop the quarterback. Maybe we don't win a Super Bowl this year, but we're going to be really good.
We go back to a few weeks ago talking about Saquon Barkley. At the right, the running back spot, I said, Cap, you know, I like Khalil Herbert and Roschon Johnson. And even, you know, from Ryan Poles' standpoint, he goes, he likes them too. But there's nothing like the veteran presence with a guy with some tread on his tires like DeAndre Swift. Whoa, out of nowhere. His name was not hot in the streets.
Was not.
But it adds to something that you already have. I thought, you're good at running back, but he wants to be great at running back.
He does. He wants to support his young quarterback.
Tyson Bagent. All right, Shay.
Brett Rippin.
I'm just looking at the depth chart. I see Tyson Bagent right here. We had him on the show. He's ready to go.
He is. I like him a lot.
All right, yesterday, big news in the NFL. Adam Schefter reporting that the Bengals' 29-year-old pass rusher, Trey Hendrickson, requested a trade due to stalled contract talks. Not the only Bengal asking for a trade. Wide receiver T. Higgins also asked for a trade because he hasn't been approached about a contract extension or anything in the realm of the terms that he is looking for, which might be further complicated after Amon-Ra St. Brown got $30 million a year yesterday. More on that in a little bit. The Bears do have needs at both edge rusher and wide receiver, and they have extra draft picks last year that could give them a little bit of leverage. So, shot or no shot, the Bears should trade for one of these players.
Shot. I want that kid.
Hendrickson. Yes.
Hendrickson.
Yes.
I don't want a receiver that I got to sign for $100 million for 4 years and 60 guaranteed. No. But I do want Trey Hendrickson.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Oh, man.
It's a shot. I do want to ask, Shay, about the Bengals. Because in years past, the Bengals, you know, we talk about Chicago teams, you know, the perception that Chicago teams don't spend money, specifically the White Sox. But what about the Bengals? Now, again, Mike Brown, still the owner, right, of the Bengals?
Mm-hmm.
Just like he was running a mom-and-pop shop all those years under Marvin Lewis as a head coach. Where it was just okay, but they were non-playoff teams, and they were underachievers and all that. So I just wonder, from the Bengals' standpoint, if you're a player, don't you feel like the window's still open for Cincinnati? With Joe Burrow's 100%. I understand about it's individual players just want to get, you know, you want them to get paid. It's clear. I mean, you want to get paid. I'm just wondering, like, you mentioned a couple of players now wanting out, not restructuring, not looking for a deal, like wanting out. That's what you're saying, Shay, right?
Yeah, but I mean, it's the nature of the league. Like, I don't think the Bengals are what they used to be. They're a spend team. They paid their quarterback something like $55 million a year on average. And they went out and got Orlando Brown to be the left tackle. This is the nature of the cap. Like, they're going to pay Ja'Marr Chase. It's difficult to pay both Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins. You got a pass rusher in Trey Hendrickson who you like, but he's getting older. It's hard to justify putting that amount of money in that position when you have other things on the roster and a quarterback making $50 million a year. Like,
just wondering if Cincinnati's still a destination for some teams. It should be because of those, you know, good assets, young assets, starting with Joe Burrow.
As long as you have a quarterback in this league, your window is open. It's just, if you have the franchise quarterback, you're okay.
I just texted to the host of the Bengals postgame show,
Lance McAllister.
Yes. What would it take to get Trey Hendrickson? We'll see what he says. What's the smoke there? What are they saying?
And he'll respond soon.
He will.
Yes. I'm just wondering, like, what Cincinnati's window is open to win. Will they go through it? That's the question, Shay. Like, when you have a young quarterback like Burrow, and you do have pieces, I wonder will they ever hit the bell? Will they get there?
They came close when they went to the AFC title game and lost a tough one to the Chiefs.
Mm-hmm.
And then he got hurt last year.
Yeah.
They went to the Super Bowl.
They've been in the Super Bowl, too. Yeah.
So, I think it's open as long as they have Burrow, but Burrow has to stay healthy.
He does.
That AFC North, man, always interesting. Always interesting. Especially when Justin takes over the reins at Pittsburgh. And that prove it deal. Prove it!
Yeah, he's a free agent in a year.
That's amazing.
It's crazy.
All right, Shay.
All right, one final question for you. Cody Bellinger, the fractured ribs. I saw this on social media yesterday. Running into the outfield wall. Shot or no shot? The Cubs need to pad the outfield wall.
No shot. Stop with that out-of-town nonsense I'm hearing from people all over the place. No. The ivy and the wall have been there for 100 years. Stop. Dumb. Bad. No shot.
Well, sure, you can keep the wall there, but you should have coaches to be able to teach these out-of-town players that come in how to be able to play the outfield with the swirling winds. Be better. Understand, hey, man, you don't have the ivy to cushion you in April and May. Definitely in April. May it starts to bloom, and then June, July, August. Wow, right?
And there's not even a cushion with the ivy. Cliff Floyd told me he rattled into the ivy, and he touched his head because he banged it, and he's like, blood.
Of course.
There's the nails that nail the ivy and that are in the wall. Yes.
I would say that I'd rather have the ivy than the brick wall and just like the sticks against you. I mean, how about teach the guys, hey, be careful. Where's the late Jimmy Pearsall when you need him? Wall, ball, wall.
Yeah.
That's how he taught Darren Jackson.
Correct.
Darren Jackson became a great outfielder because of Jimmy Pearsall.
That's correct.
Now listen, guy. When you see the ball, look, identify the ball, feel for the wall, and then ball. Ball, wall, ball. All right, Jimmy. Hey, that works.
Yeah.
I told you. I got the papers to prove it, kid. The organization sucks. Jimmy!
That's what he did.
Jimmy Pearsall. He was the best, man. I enjoyed. I had a Jimmy Pearsall show once upon a time. Did you know that?
I didn't.
I did. Hosted with him.
Wow.
Yes. He was fantastic.
He was cool.
When did you get into baseball, kid?
Long time ago, Jimmy.
Amazing.
So, Shay, no. We're not padding the freaking wall out there.
Unless there's more sponsors.
Oh.
Coming gotta get additional revenue streams in there, Cap. If that meant you had a $1 million deal, that those weeds are coming down. Just telling you.
Big padded green DraftKings sign right there in left field.
Exactly.
Gallagher way. Big G, big A, big LL, right across the bottom.
Wow.
What? Underneath the basket. Be perfect.
Pass.
That's exactly. And then you can have, like, you know, the green, you know, looking like ivy. Just the picture of ivy across the big green padding. Ah, like a pillow.
Pass.
We got Around the NFL coming up. And don't forget, it's a Deal Breakers Thursday as well. It's all part of the mix on draft day on the Cap and J Hood Morning Show.
Follow Chicago's Home for Sports on Twitch at ESPN 1000 Chicago. Cap and J Hood are back on Chicago's Home for Sports. ESPN Chicago.
Nick Foles sucks. He sucks.
I'm just a fan. I'm not a football evaluator.
I love the Green Bay Packers.
The guy is drunk, but there he goes.
This is not Detroit, man. This is the Super Bowl.
I want winners.
He starts to come and then he pulls out.
This is a really thickly built guy.
I mean, what's the answer you're looking for on these things here?
It's time to go around the NFL right here on the Cap and J Hood Morning Show on ESPN 1000. Don't forget, not only on ESPN 1000, not only the ESPN Chicago app, but also on YouTube as well, YouTube.com and on Twitch. Brought to you by Buffalo Wild Wings. Let's go Sports Bar. YouTube.com, ESPN Chicago, Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN1000Chicago. Around the NFL with Shane Orlick.
I want to start with the news yesterday that the Lions have turned into big spenders. We knew this division was going to be tough, but the Lions don't look like they're going anywhere for a while. They gave Amon-Ra St. Brown a $30 million extension. Also gave a massive deal to their right tackle, Penei Sewell, who was an all-pro. The Amon-Ra extension is a little more interesting to me because I think there are ripple effects to it.
Mm-hmm.
One, I kind of am of the feeling that you don't always want to be the first team to sign somebody. We see this with the quarterback market a lot. The first team to sign someone sets the market and everybody else reacts. I think it was really advantageous for the Lions to set the wide receiver market here because Minnesota and Chicago have to be pissed. Amon-Ra St. Brown getting a $30 million a year extension means the price of DJ Moore and certainly the price of Justin Jefferson just went way up.
Price went up. Yesterday's price is not today's price.
$77 million guaranteed for St. Brown. Whoa.
It's a lot of money, but he's a hell of a player.
Yes,
and it's a multi-billion dollar industry. I think they said the NFL right now is going up by $1 billion a year in revenue.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, then pay the man his money. He's good, pay the man his money.
So, Shay, when we look at St. Brown and then we look at DJ Moore, so how do we, because we got to look at how we rank them. New, a fresh quarterback coming in here with Caleb Williams. Who knows what that looks like? You obviously, the sky's the limit. But think about DJ Moore this upcoming season and think about St. Brown. Now, how much could DJ Moore make?
He's going to be a $25 million player. He could be a $30 million player. I didn't expect Amon-Ra St. Brown to get $30 million. Mm-hmm. I thought Amon-Ra would come in around 25, top 12-ish receiver in the league. I think DJ Moore's in that same kind of vein. If Amon-Ra's getting $30 million, like I've been telling you guys for a while, these markets don't move backwards in this league. The money keeps growing. The cap keeps growing. Players just get more money. And I think when the Lions set the market at 30, I mean, you might be looking, if you're Justin Jefferson, are you looking for 40?
Yes.
If you're DJ Moore, aren't you looking for 30?
Yeah, no, it's no question. You go as high as possible. Now, Justin Jefferson, for my money, and I think for many of us, the best wide receiver in the league.
Yeah, I don't think he gets to 40.
It just keeps moving up, Cap, because of the TV money. And there's more and more space. We're getting to some baseball numbers now.
It's crazy money.
What do you always say, Shay? Like, there's not really a cap in the NFL?
No,
it just keeps moving. Yeah.
Well, and it's a ledger. It's not like an actual hard figure of the cash that you are allowed to spend. You can move it around however you want. As long as you have the cash, you can move that money however you want on your ledger to manipulate the cap. It's not a real thing.
Say it out loud, Cap. DJ Moore, $35 million a year.
35. No shot.
Cap. I mean, that's... 5 years ago, you could say that, but look what's happening. I mean, look at St. Brown. He's not the best wide receiver in the league, but he has the richest pact of any wide receiver in the history of the league. Crazy.
DJ's going to get close to 30.
Chasing greatness.
Should get up every day, whether it's drafting Caleb Williams, being the best husband or wife you can be, being the best person you can chase greatness every day.
Amon-Ra does have the fortune of being 3 years younger, but you look at the stats. I mean, last year, 1,500 yards for him, 10 touchdowns. DJ Moore with a significantly worse quarterback, 1,400 yards nearly, 8 touchdowns. Mm-hmm. If you figure DJ Moore gets to 1,600 yards and double-digit touchdowns, yeah, you might be looking at $32 million. You might be.
Crazy.
I know that's crazy to you, Cap, but, I mean, look with how the money is flowing in the NFL now.
But that's even more reason that you need to go get a receiver in tonight's draft. You're not paying Keenan Allen $25 million and DJ Moore $30 million. You're not.
That's one guy's not going to get that kind of money.
Who?
Keenan Allen.
He led the league in catches last year.
Yep.
He's a six-time Pro Bowler.
Twilight of his career. You know that.
But if he gets a short deal, he's going to want a high AAV. You're not getting him cheap. You're not.
I don't know what AV is, but we'll find out. Here's Shay Norling. Shay?
Average annual value.
There is one quarterback in this draft who, according to Diana Rossini, has a very rising stock. Uh-oh. Michael Penix Jr.
Okay.
Yeah, well, I wanted to lead you somewhere.
Oh, wait a second.
A very rising what? I said stock.
Hold.
Stock.
Okay. But you just mentioned Diana Rossini, and I was hoping Jay Morgan would catch you if you fell. A little trust fall.
Ooh.
Be careful.
Michael Penix, rising stock in this draft.
Yes.
I want to go back to the Lions for a moment.
Okay.
Two big money extensions with Amon-Ra St. Brown and Penei Sewell.
Yeah.
One extension that hasn't happened yet. Jared Goff.
Man.
I've heard very little whispers. Could the Lions shock the world and draft Michael Penix Jr.?
No. It's a no shot.
What number are they picking?
29.
He won't be there at 29.
They got picks to move up.
No way.
If you're the Lions, would you do that? I'd say no. As you well know, Shay, I'm just not a. Because of what we saw in college, there was flashes. Flashes get you fired, of course. The injuries are a big issue with Penix. But I understand your point. What's next for the Lions if you can't come to terms with Jared Goff? Man.
It's interesting. They put two extensions in at the finish line, and Goff's not extended yet. I don't know if they're going to move up to try and get Michael Penix, or maybe Penix slips to that spot.
What finish line?
The finish line of the draft being here. I just find it interesting in the lead-up that they made those two extensions happen, and they haven't done anything with Goff.
Well, that doesn't mean they're not talking, and maybe it's more complex, and they're like, we'll finish it. Let me finish the draft, and I'll get your deal done.
I'm not writing anything in stone, Cappy. I'm just making the point.
Mm-hmm.
It would not shock me if in this weekend the Lions end up taking a quarterback higher than people would think. Could they walk away from this draft with Michael Penix or Bo Nix as kind of a surprise team? Wouldn't stun me.
Right.
Well, there's a need for a backup in Detroit. Hendon Hooker, Nate Sudfeld.
Hendon Hooker's 40 years old.
Yeah, so I would prefer Bo Nix in that spot. If I had my druthers, it would be Bo Nix over Michael Penix, but you do have to think about the future there.
But you also have to look and go, is Bo Nix the future of our team, or is he just destined to be a journeyman? I don't know the answer to that.
Who knows?
Right.
But one thing for sure, they solidified a couple of cornerstone guys on that offense yesterday, didn't they?
That they did.
That says a lot about their future. All right, Jay, what else do we have?
All right, we have the Patriots. Okay. And my hopes that Drake May is available at 3. The reporting around it now, I mean, it seems to be pretty solid at this point. The Patriots love Drake May. If he is there at 3, they are going to select Drake May. If the Commanders at this point shock the world and take May, and it's Daniels at 3, the Patriots are going to try an incredible gamble. They are going to trade out of the 3rd pick and then attempt to trade back up for J.J. McCarthy. Time and time again, I just take the quarterback with the pick that you got.
Who's your GM, Sonny Weaver Jr.?
Yeah, it feels that way. Hey, did everybody attend Michael Penix's birthday party?
God almighty. Again, you don't have to outdumb the room. At 3, if May's there, that'll be all. Now, again, with Washington, I think that they love Jaden Daniels. I do not, but they do. Fine. Jaden Daniels is an attraction. He'll run all over the yard. He will make some plays with his legs. I know that. I just think based on what I saw, Cap, watching that young man play, I think May can be a difference maker for the Patriots. I think that at three, that sounds solid to me.
Yeah, that's a hell of a pick if he's there. I would take him if I was Washington, but we'll see.
If J.J. McCarthy goes that high in the draft and he falls on his face, he should write a book on how you could just be able to just trick the audience, trick the football gods. Because, I mean, for a guy that didn't have to throw the football, boy, he seems like the apple of a lot of teams' eye.
I like him. I think he's going to be a winning player in the National Football League. I really do.
Hey, man, get a good running game. He's stellar for you. All right, Shay.
All right, wow. One of the teams
Well, that's what he did, Cap. Did we not see the games? I mean, obviously, they looked at him in these combines and these workouts and say, oh, you do have somewhat of an arm. I think that's the surprise. That's the reason why the arrow's pointing up. It's like, oh, you can do these things. Because Harbaugh, meat and potatoes, meatball, ran the football a million times to a national championship. He didn't have that young man roll out to make plays like down the regular base. He didn't need to.
Correct. But that kid's a winner.
The winner. Because what?
What does that mean?
It doesn't mean anything.
I keep thinking about this, man. I saw this on social media this week. Somebody was like, watching J.J. McCarthy tape, there is no reason to select this guy in the top 10. There's just not. And people got on him. Well, you need to watch more games. You need to watch more games. For what reason? So you can watch him run the ball 31 straight times against Penn State when they couldn't block the two Robinson and Adisa Isaac?
I put a bunch of tape on and watched him. There are throws he makes that you go, that's the guy right there. And what is a winner? I'm just telling you, there's certain qualities. I would go in a gym and scout a guy and go, that guy's a winning player. They do little things that help their team win. And everything I hear about him from people I trust, that kid is a winning football player.
Yeah, but so was Tim Tebow, and so was A.J. McCarron.
No, Tebow was not that guy.
He was a winner.
He was a winner. I'm talking about as a player. He didn't have that type of skill set.
Winner,
he did
though.
Not.
Winner.
J.J. McCarthy is a talented cat.
Sharon Moore.
These guys did it.
Also
man.
Winner. And by the way, the little things that he did, you really got to squint to see those little things. Do you have your glasses on or not when you're looking at them? Because you got to squint to see those little things. Hand the ball off is not little things. I'm just saying that what he had to do was to impress people in those combines because it certainly wasn't on tape. Wasn't. Because Harbaugh said, I can run the football and win. Nothing wrong with that. I'm just saying that we compared him to like Caleb Williams. Oh, my God. It's night and day.
No question.
Drake
and that's
May.
Why Caleb's going one.
Michael Penix. Bo Nix.
Yeah, I'd say I actually. If Michael Penix weren't so injured, I'd like him more than McCarthy. The Penn State game really sticks out. The Maryland tape was rough. But the Penn State game, when like Michigan makes a conscious decision, we can't block the edges, so we don't trust J.J. to make quick decisions, and we run the ball 31 consecutive plays. I'm good.
Winner.
Why am I drafting that quarterback in the top five?
And the only reason why, Shay, is because of what he did in those camps. That's the only way that he's been able to vault up the charts. That's what it was. It's like, you know what? In this system, we think he can work because, oh, you can throw the football. Now you can do it without Harbaugh's handcuffs on you. That's the way because it wasn't on tape. It wasn't. I just watched the games. That's all.
Yeah, and it's not like the Penn State thing, the 31 straight runs. It's not like that was Harbaugh meat and potatoes. We're just bullying you. They were getting like 3 yards a carry. They couldn't move the ball. They couldn't score. They just didn't trust JJ to throw. That's it. So. They weren't effective or efficient running the ball. They were just drowning the clock. Hey, the whole thing with JJ, again, I think he can be a good player if he goes to a situation where he gets to sit for a year and get coached up. But top five pick, I've always been a little skeptical.
All right, that is a look around the NFL. We got deal breakers right around the corner. Don't forget also, color analyst for the Chicago Bears on the Bears Network. Tom Thayer is going to be with us coming up in a half hour from now on the Cap and Jay Hood Morning Show.
You're listening to Cap and Jay Hood. Follow the show on Instagram at the Capman and at IGJHood. This is ESPN Chicago, Chicago's home for sports.
We all have to make choices in sports and in life. It could be running on third down.
You ran the same third down situation, and you ran the same play twice. You're getting paid for that.
I cannot believe the call.
Or managing finances.
This country, you've got to make the money first.
Or it could be a deal breaker.
It's Deal Breakers every Thursday at 8:35 right here on Cap'n Jay Hood. It's the NFL Draft Edition of Deal Breakers. Here's Shay Norling. Shay?
Oh, boy.
An all-draft Deal Breakers. Let's start with Cap's favorite scenario.
Redheads. Oh, go ahead.
Oh.
Sorry. Guess not.
Wow.
It's not about that? Oh.
Kaplan, Andy Dalton's on the board. You can't contain yourself.
Oh, God! Red Rifle, here I come! Sorry.
Every guy can bust.
Here's Shay Norling. Shay?
You're on the clock, and a player you like has fallen to your selection. As you're speaking with the advisors in the war room, you discover none of that player's teammates went to his birthday party. Do you still draft him?
Now, wait a minute, Cap. I can't pull it, but there's an example of that somewhere. Of a player... teammates not going to a player's birthday party because he's a bad guy?
Bo Callahan.
Yes.
Drafting.
Yes.
Well, first of all, knowing how much work goes into compiling a draft board, we're talking thousands of man hours and a fortune in money. I would hope we would have at our disposal all the homework on every guy that potentially could get drafted. We're not in the war room going, oh, God, he fell. What do we know? Nobody went to his birthday party, so it's an unrealistic scenario.
Oh, so you agree the movie's unrealistic.
Not at all, because he knew that before draft day. He did his homework, Sonny Weaver Jr. But, yeah, that would be a deal breaker for me.
It would be.
It would be one of the characteristics. If he's not a good leader... I don't want a guy who's a bad leader. But again, there's a million factors that go into this.
Yeah, why wouldn't teammates go to your birthday party? What's wrong with you?
Right.
If they were invited. You found out the information, the intel that you were invited, they're like, nah.
Right, like if the whole team despises the guy, then that's a problem.
I know that we talked about this 2 years ago. You know what it was? Russell Wilson. Ciara throws a birthday party for Russell Wilson. We talked about it.
Uh-huh.
And less than half of the team showed up.
Correct.
And so we thought, is that an issue with Russell Wilson? Only a certain amount of Broncos liked him.
Correct.
So it's very similar to
Very similar.
Yeah.
Very similar.
So I would say that is a deal breaker, yes. Like, so what's wrong with your character or your teammates don't support you? Also, I would wonder about the infrastructure and the character of my team, Cap. I'd be concerned about that as well. Are we not enough of a team to come together for a birthday party? What's the problem?
Well, especially as a quarterback, if your guys don't have your back, I don't want you.
Hmm.
Period.
Shay.
All right, a similar situation, but maybe a little bit more realistic. You're on the clock, and the player at the very top of your draft board has fallen to your pick. You are... primed to make this selection. You're mm-hmm. about to pick up the phone and make the call. As one of your advisors tells you that the player has some racist tweets that are surfacing and beginning to go viral.
Two African-American quarterbacks starting against each other in the Super Bowl for the first time. Fittingly, February 12th is Abe Lincoln's birthday. Here we go with the highlights.
You only have a couple minutes left on the clock as this information is going public and going viral on social media. What do you do?
Okay, so you're telling me I did not know this, and it only surfaced in the 10 minutes while I'm on the clock.
Nobody knew this, just circumstance. The tweets started getting retweeted, and now they're going viral.
And how virulent are these tweets?
Huh? I don't care what
that degree guy... of racism is he using?
Yeah, well, I don't care. No, I don't care how viral he is sexually. I care about the player.
No. Is it something... did he retweet a joke that was in bad taste? Is it, oh my God?
They're rough posts from his account.
So worse than yours.
Probably.
You got 2 minutes left. What are you doing?
Yeah,
He's the best player on your board.
I'm probably moving on. I'm not taking him. If it's that bad, it's not, he retweeted a joke in poor taste. we can work with that. He had a horrible, horrible racial meltdown. Yeah, I can't bring you in. Sorry. Can't do it.
Well, if you had a good enough board, you already are ready to move on, right? Just in case something like that happens. You should be at the ready, correct? Just in case?
I mean, I can't believe that that we didn't know. They scrub and pour through every tweet you've ever sent. So we would know that. But if somehow, some way, something happened? Remember Laramie Tunsil falling because a video popped up of him
the gas mask.
With a gas mask full of marijuana? Now you can do that right down here at one of the dispensaries. But back then, that was a huge deal.
Well, remember the Josh Allen song lyrics tweets?
Mm-hmm. I do.
And those didn't really hurt him.
Yeah, no. I don't remember the Josh Allen. I remember Greg Olson being part of some...
Yeah,
the rap song that they did at Miami.
Greg Olson rap?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, it's there.
Yeah.
We talked about it at the time.
Yep.
No question about it.
So, yeah, I would absolutely pass. If it was that distasteful,
of course.
Yeah, I can't bring him in my locker room.
And by the way, the reason why that you'd pass is because you don't have time to get on the phone and ask, what's this all about? Because you'd want to have an investigation. Like, what was this? What were you thinking at the time? What was the circumstances?
Well, he says there's 2 minutes on the clock, and I said, all right, I'm going to speed dial Hoodie. Hey, Jonathan, tell me about the tweets. It was bad taste, or I got hacked. I can't trust it.
Right. You got to move on. You don't have time.
Correct.
Because that's more than just 10 minutes, Cap. You need to know now if this is the character and the player that you want to have for the next 5 years, 10 years, whatever it is.
Correct.
And so you just can't.
Pass. I'm moving on.
You just have to. You got no other choice in that scenario.
But then you're wondering, is this somebody putting this out there to get the guy to slide to him?
Whatever. You just don't want it on your hands.
Right.
That's it.
I'm picking at 9 and I pass on him, go, God, that was the best player on my board. And at 17 or whatever number he is, Sean Payton's going,
fine.
Bring him in.
You know what?
Because it's all nothing.
It's all good.
John Gruden gets a job. He's like, I want that guy.
That's it.
I mean, honest to God, man. I mean, that's the thing. And by the way, you'd have to look into your own dopey organization as well. Would you not? Because you say, have you gone through everything with a fine-tooth comb? Have you gone through everything, right? And then the last 10 minutes, Cap, Coach, this. What? We had this guy drafted.
Yeah, where'd this come from? Right.
Now you had to look into your own dopey organization saying, how come you didn't do your due diligence?
Correct.
How come it comes up now before the draft?
Correct.
That's the word. But you know what? There's a few of them out there. Badly run organizations that would go through that scenario.
No question.
Poorly run organizations. Usually you could find them at the top of the draft. Coming up, more of Deal Breakers.
A draft edition.
Right here on Cap and Jay Hood.
Follow Chicago's Home for Sports on Twitch at ESPN 1000 Chicago. Cap and Jay Hood are back on Chicago's Home for Sports. ESPN Chicago.
Deal Breakers. Here's Shay Norling. Shay?
All right. Another fun one for Kaplan. You are the owner of an NFL team. And in the lead up to the draft, you discover that your GM has been shacking up with the capologist. He further mortgages the team's future in order to save his job by trading 2 extra first round picks to move up in the draft for a player who was a lock to fall to them with their original first round pick. Do you just fire this guy?
Hold on a second. The capologist is shacking up with who?
The general manager of the team.
Okay. And he trades to 2 extra first-round picks. Well, the question is, does he then come back up and trade 3 second-round picks to get another first-round pick and a punt returner who's an all-pro at the same time?
Woody, do you see how ridiculous this movie is?
Oh, no question.
Sonny Weaver Jr. should have been on his ass. He should have been in a cardboard box in Cleveland.
And guess what? He walked out of there the big winner of the draft. Because First Take Shea would have fired him halfway through. He knows what he's doing. Just let him finish his deal. That's what Jennifer Garner said.
Comes out of this looking like a donkey.
Yeah. What if Bo Callahan was Patrick Mahomes, and the other dude was AJ McCarron?
Well, guess what? He knew that the Bo Callahan player was a bust. He's a bust. And that's what happened. And Brian Drew was the guy.
So is it a deal breaker or no?
Not a deal breaker. Okay. Just get your job done. I don't care who you're shacking up with. She's hot, I'm assuming.
She's like Jennifer Garner guy?
If she's like Jennifer Garner, I am. She's hot.
But you're firing his ass, right?
Oh, no question. That's easy.
I mean,
that's easy.
Sonny Weaver Jr. should be homeless. No credit score.
I mean, that's why it's entertainment. That's why it's a movie, right? Because that's not realistic at all. Even though Cap makes it seem like it actually happened, but the movie is not realistic.
My God, was phenomenal.
Oh yeah, in your own head.
I will be watching it today on the treadmill.
Yeah, absolutely.
Get ready.
Yep. Got to know those lines by heart for our show tomorrow.
Ready to.
Oh, go ahead. Just roll off a few for us. Go ahead. Your favorite line.
Probably my favorite scene is when he goes back at the Seattle general manager, played by Patrick D'Esprit, and says, "You pancake eating blankety blank. You're going to give me all my picks back. And David Putney, just because I feel like it." Yeah. Let's go, Shay.
All right, your friend considers himself an amateur football scout.
Horrible. Go ahead.
All week he has been blowing up your phone with text messages, obsessing over late-round draft prospects. He's sending YouTube links, telling you about players you've never heard of, saying the Bears need to draft this guy.
Mm-hmm.
Just endless text messages about sixth and seventh-round prospects. It's harmless, but it's getting a little bit annoying. No, I have a buddy who does this, and it is frustrating. Do you tell your friend to stop blowing up your phone with all this crap, or you just let him do it?
Yeah, I tell him to stop, like I told you. Oh, I'm going to trade 126 for 254, 311, 996, and I'm drafting this kid out of Central Florida. No, I don't care. I don't care.
But there's draft nicks out there, man, that go deep into it.
God bless
them. And those draft pools, you know, that's an actual thing. If you get like a certain amount right or percentage right, you could win a prize. That's a thing.
It is?
Mm-hmm.
Didn't even know that.
Yeah, it's a draft. There's draft pools all over the place.
Yeah. No, it's when Norling comes up with players I've never heard of, probably never will, and...
What do you mean comes up with? They're real players.
Yesterday, I had to sit here and listen to you go, I'm trading to 18, and I'm getting 64, 129, 236, and 488, and I'm getting this guy from Idaho State, whose mother happened to be from the Eastern Washington School, and they have a tie to the Bears.
Yes.
No, I don't care.
Yes, yes. Now, just keep in mind, the lesson in this, Shay, is that the NFL draft is needless and useless to Cap, but draft day, real.
I love the...
Watch it. Careful.
The Bears picks tonight, that's intriguing. The top 15, 20 picks, intriguing. The pick in the fourth round, I'll see you in camp. I'll be standing there with hoodie, and we'll wonder, can that guy play or not? Period.
That guy sucks! That's what I'll get a lot
that's
of.
That's it.
That guy can't play dead. How about that?
Roschon Johnson's a good player, man. That was insulting to Roschon.
There's a nice young lady that walks by every day and waves to us. She literally just stopped in front of the studio, opened up her backpack, and took out a Joe Burrow jersey that is pointing at us. Number one.
She's going to be wearing that at work today.
Yes.
I'd like to be there to see it.
Yes.
Very good.
Yes.
She's got her Cincinnati stuff on. It's amazing, the melting pot in this city of different fandoms. There's a Packer fan walking by.
There it is.
Yuck.
Yeah! And a chair of Detroit fans, too, boy. Plenty. Plenty of the English D that we see every day.
The Lion fans?
The Tiger fan.
Oh, Tiger fans.
Yeah. The English D?
Yeah.
Plenty of that happens around here.
Yeah.
English D?
Yeah.
The script
Excuse
D
me?
Is called an English D. Hoodie's correct.
We will hear from Tom Thayer, and we'll get his thoughts about the draft. Big day in Chicago, everywhere else. But the epicenter is right here in Chicago.
And I want to ask him what he remembers about his draft day.
We will talk to Tommy coming up. Tom Thayer in 2 minutes on the Home of the Bears, ESPN 1000.